This week on the podcast, I'm having a chat with my friend Josh Post. Josh was actually the first person that I did a podcast with many years ago now, and since then we've actually done a bunch of sailing together. We've sailed in Spain, we've sailed in the Balearics, and we've also sailed in Greece. A bunch has changed with him. He's gone through a couple of boats since then, so here is an update podcast with my friend Josh.
Are you guys still at the, you guys are still there at the mainland, like Alicante, or did you guys end up going back to the islands?
Oh yeah, we left like as soon as, so I got to Alicante, to the same marina that we didn't go to, but we were anchored outside of with Anton and Antoinette.
Oh yeah.
So we stayed there for like 4 days. I took off some of the old solar panels and replaced them with like the cheapest ones I could get, which are literally brilliant. They perform so well, it's crazy. So yeah, as soon as we got those solar panels on and the swell calmed down, we anchored up for like 2 nights in that same spot, and then we just went straight over to Ibiza, and we've been here since.
Because you were
out shit weather.
Because you were on that air, you were already there, weren't you? And then you came over to the mainland, and then back, essentially, or
yeah,
okay.
Well, it was quite a trip. Like it was from the depths of Greece, so it wasn't like the Ionian. It was like mainland Greece, this place called Kalado, where the boatyard was. So I just wanted to bring the boat over as quick as possible, but have a nice time at the same time.
Yeah.
So got like quite a few mates over. You were invited. And then, we ended up going, just cruising around Greece to Zante, then from Zante to Sicily, Sicily to Sardinia, Sardinia to Menorca, Menorca to Ibiza. Then we went over to Alicante, picked up the family, and now I'm back.
Oh, crazy.
It's been busy.
Yeah. Nonstop movement. Because I saw you had different crew members for a while, like different people come on for like a week at a time, I assume, or something. And you had Chris for a while. Then you had like another guy or two guys, I think. Yeah,
we had Chris came on board for a bit, and he helped me out a bunch, as he does, because he knows everything. So like, it was, to be honest, the boat's been fine. Like I put it in the water, I could have sailed it, no problem, back to Greece. But there was a few bits I needed to like ideally replace. The raw water pump bust in the middle of the ocean, that was interesting. So the engine won't work, but I've got to fix around for that. But yeah, the boat was actually okay. It's held together pretty well. Like there's been a number of things, like a few hoses have burst here and there, and I've had quite a bit of water coming in, but it was all good. So oh, Chris geez. Helped out. And then once we got to Zante, Chris left. And then I had like a friend I've had since I was 16 years old come on board.
Oh, nice.
I haven't seen in like 20 years. No, actually, that's a lie. I hadn't hung out with him in 20 years. He came to my wedding in Dubai, which was wicked. I messaged his mum and I was like, listen, I know this is a bit of a far-fetched request because I'm like, I don't know, 6,000 miles away, but I'd really like your entire family at my wedding. And she just said, okay. And then they came over for it, which was cool. So she brought the husband and then her three kids who were all like my age. So that was the last time I saw him. And he basically like sacked off his land life, quit his job, like good job, and just wants to buy a boat and go sailing around the world. And this was the first time on a cruising boat for him. And he loved it, which was great. Like he really loved it.
Is he from your same hometown? Kind of.
He's from Wigan, Manchester. So he's from, I mean, I would never say he's from Wigan because that would be a grave insult to his character. He's from about 40 minutes away from where I'm from. I can't remember. It's the nice side of Manchester. There's a couple of nice places in Manchester. He's from Wilmslow, I think. That's where he's from. He's from a nice neighborhood. So he was liking it on board the boat. He was liking it. I think he'll end up getting one soon.
Oh, cool.
So that was good. Then we had JC, my friend. I don't know if you met JC. Did you meet JC?
I don't think so.
I think they left the Balearics just before you arrived, actually, and we didn't end up meeting up with them because they left early because he was like 2 weeks off work, so he had to shoot. JC and then a Danish guy called CM Funk or Chris Funk, who's a really good sailor, actually. He's a very, very good sailor. He's like really comfortable just like leaving the boat to him. In Sardinia, I had a couple of Australians who very minimal experience, but they'd already like made a plan to like just go buy a boat and start sailing around the world because they were really sick of like the usual job 9-to-5 type of bullshit. They stayed on board for like 2 weeks. Wicked couple, really nice. Ryan and Amanda. I think I put some stuff on Instagram with them, but super nice people, like really cute. They're in you have to be nice to maintain a relationship for that long. So that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Been in a relationship for like 20 years. You're probably a nice person. Unless they hate each other equally. I don't know.
And now Hib is there right now or no? Or she, or Arthur and Hib are there? Yep.
Yeah. So they arrived the second day I was in Alicante. So yeah, just cleaned the boat up. They arrived, made a few changes. Man, it's weird because like I came on this boat in October of last year when it was a shithole and I was just like refitting it and like not showering, just eating biscuits, like paying no attention to my general sanitary health. And that has been my life for like 8 months, apart from when I go back and see them, then I shower and I look good. Like being on the boat with the family was such a change. So it was like, it's not a working man's boat anymore. It's a family boat. So yeah. Getting used to like the baby toys, the cats have been surprisingly easy actually to keep on board. That was one like pleasant surprise. They just took to it really well. They just go outside. They just chill on the deck. They don't like jet skis or motorboats, which is sweet, because neither do I.
And you saw that Weefy again at the same place?
Mate, he recognized me straight away. Like, literally, I was on the bow on a completely different boat, and he came over as soon as he saw me. And at first, he said, "You've grown your beard." I was like, "I have grown my beard." And he was like, and then he was like, "Oh, you've got a new boat." And then he was asking about you. He was like, "Where's Josh?" And I was like, "I was in California." Crazy. And he's doing some work over there and stuff. And he's still delivering paella on his head.
That's crazy.
Absolutely loving it. Mate, that's actually a good place to start off our little podcast intro, because you're the first person I did a podcast with.
Oh, yeah.
You're the first person I asked to do a podcast with, because I watched all of your videos going way back, all of your sailing videos. But we've actually done quite a bit of sailing since then.
Yeah, definitely.
Crazy how the internet works and brings people together.
Oh yeah. I was just thinking of the, what is the Bill Maher podcast? And he's always like, his guests are always like, Random. What is it called? Club Random. Yeah.
Club Random. Such a good podcast.
Yeah. And his guests are always like, "Oh, are we on?" You know, he's like, "Oh yeah, we've been on for a half hour. What are you talking about?" You know,
he's been smoking weed for like 30 minutes already. He's crazy. He was on Joe Rogan, actually, like 2 days ago, I think. He was on Joe Rogan. That was a really good podcast as well.
Okay. The big Joe Rogan one was that country singer guy that everybody's talking about, which I don't even know what the big deal is, whatever, but it's like, I guess he's got some huge song or something. I don't know.
What's going on with that?
Yeah.
Mate, that went viral. It's actually a nice song. Like, I listened to it. He was complaining about fat people, which was weird. I was like, I think there's more problems than fat people. But other than that, I was like, yeah, it sounds like a good old working class miners type of song. It's like something British people would sing in a pub when they're getting drunk.
Yeah, like kind of old-fashioned or whatever. But it's really weird how it went like just crazy viral. But that just shows you that you never know. As soon as a few people start sharing stuff, next thing you know, it's like gone crazy. Yeah.
Need to be careful. Need to be very careful these days what you put on the internet. I have no talent, so I don't need to worry about that. No, he's a good singer. I think he's got offered a record deal or something after that. I'm sure I read one article saying country. Yeah, I mean, it was bound to happen, weren't it? Because he's actually a good singer. But yeah, he was on. I didn't listen to that one because like that was one of those viral moments that hit the internet. And I looked at it. I was just like, bugger off. It's a nice song. Like, I'm not interested in delving into this any deeper than necessary. Do you know what I mean?
Same with me. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he ended up on like the biggest podcast in history because of that song. So it was quite cool.
We've had quite the couple of years here since we first spoke, and then things have just completely kind of steamrolled into things, doing things together, sailing. We went on your boat for a while in Ibiza and Spain. That was like, I think I was there a week. Your Moody 32, right? Was that it? Or 33?
Yeah, Moody 336. Yeah. The old boat.
Yeah.
It seems like a bait. I could fit that inside this one.
You had the Moody and you were going to sell, you sold it. Did you sell it before you had bought this one, or you bought it, you sold it right after that, or how would that go down?
Yeah, sold it actually, I think it was kind of just after you left. I think so. Or did we do another summer? I'm not sure. I can't remember. But somebody messaged me on Instagram. They were just like, "I want to buy your boat." I was like, it's not for sale. And they were like, oh, but I really want to buy it. I was like, okay, maybe it is for sale. So, yeah, they came along and they just immediately was just like, yeah, I'll take it. No problem. But he since sold it. He had it for like a year. Apparently, like he didn't maintain it very well or anything, because Chris was staying in the same marina in Almeramar, and he was like, yeah, the boat just got filthy and it never left. And yeah, that's the sad end to that boat. But it was up for sale about 6 months ago, because I got loads of people messaging me. Like, I don't know, like 10, 15 people messaging me. They were just like, oh, I just want to know about your boat that's for sale. I was like, it's not my boat. And they were like, oh, yeah, but you used to own it. I was like, how do you know that? Like, what's going on? No idea. So, yeah, anyway, I think one of my followers on social media actually ended up buying it, because I know that they want to see it.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it would be cool to just like turn up in an anchorage somewhere and it's there. Like, that would be, that would be awesome, actually. I'd love that.
Do you know if they stayed in the same area, or did they move the boat away, or did they stay in the same area?
No, stayed in the same area. He moved it out of Almeramar to another marina, which is, I think, about 40 minutes away by car. So probably, I don't know, about a 4-hour, 5-hour sail, something like that, maybe more. But yeah, they moved it away shortly after. So yeah, I don't know, but I hope somebody's bought that boat who takes good care of it, because I put a lot of effort in with that thing. I sold it too soon. But yeah, pretty much, I think maybe a couple of months after you left, I think I ended up selling that.
What's been the difference of, you got it? Yeah, it was a 33 feet, you know, so now you've got a 56. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So it's massive more than 20 feet difference. Is that, how is that, you know, the difference in sailing that?
You know, not that much, to be honest, because the Moody was like quite a quick boat. This sails upwind a lot better because it's got quite a heavy big keel, whereas the Moody was a bilge keeler. So it was great on the beam and it was very comfortable on anchor. It didn't roll around that much for its size and weight, but it didn't sail upwind that well. But all the lines lead aft on this. This is easier to handle because it's got a bow thruster. I wish I had a bow thruster on the Moody. But it's a different boat. Like, that was a boat that was designed for like cutely crossing oceans. I'd say, like, it was definitely suitable for it. Many people have circumnavigated in that boat, whereas this is a boat for coastal cruising. That's definitely capable of like crossing an ocean, but like the space inside, the cockpit layout, it's been designed for comfort rather than sailing.
Right.
So it's pros and cons. Mate, if I had the money, I'd get a 56-foot Moody, but I don't. So I got a 56-foot Juno instead. So, mate, I think just catching everybody up. I don't know if the people who listen to my podcast know this. So we ended up sailing for a couple of weeks on my boat in Spain. Yep. And then I invited you to Greece on a charter that we did.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Which was brilliant. Yeah, that was such a good time. Actually, my best memory of you was in Greece. I think you know what it is. It was when
the nighttime kayaking, right?
Yeah,
the nighttime paddleboard.
The paddleboarding. Yeah. So we were basically we're having a beach party, and I successfully got everyone shit-faced by peer pressure force.
We were sharing that. What is that stuff? Ouzo, right? The ouzo.
Ouzo.
That's right.
Yeah, mate, ouzo is great when you drink it, but the next morning you're guaranteed a hangover. It's horrible. It's a horrible day after drink. So yeah, we were all getting shit-faced on that beach, and then we decided to go for chicken, as you do when drunk. And yeah, you decided to do like, what was that? Like a free, it must have been 2 or 3 mile paddleboard across a bay in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was something like 2 miles. I remember I measured it at one point afterwards, you know, but yeah, it was funny. It was like 11 at night or something, and everything was it was kind of the off season, so like none of the restaurants were really open. And we looked and we saw that a few were going to be maybe open till midnight, I think it was. And so we like rush in there. I'm like just going the whole time and all this, and I was determined to beat you guys because you guys were on the dinghy with the outboard. I'm just going, and I'm like, it's all silent the entire time. And right as I get to the end, I start hearing like some noises from like talking and like the outboard motor and everything.
And then you could hear us.
Well, it was right at the end when we started arriving to the same harbor. Because I think you guys maybe went a little bit of a loop, or like kind of kept out towards the shore. And I did more of a straight line. Anyway, and I heard, who was it? It was part of the group and everybody, you know, everybody's laughing and talking because, you know, And then we got there and I was like, we pretty much arrived at the same time. So it was crazy. Yeah.
Man, we all thought that might be the last time we ever saw you. Like, you needed to do it. It was obvious. Like, it was something that you had to do, but we were like, it could die out there. So like, when we turned up, we were like, oh, thank God he's not dead. Like, he's arrived and you'd made friends already. No surprise. Oh, yeah. You were talking to some Germans.
Yeah. I remember I just sort of looked at the lights of the city and just kind of kept going with the paddle.
Yeah. Mate, you definitely paddled that board in a straighter line than we did the outboard, because we weren't paying attention. We were just chatting shit and talking about pizza the entire time. And then we were like, oh, no, we're really not heading in the right direction now. But yeah, you did well. So that's my best memory of you. And just picking out ginormous bushes from the wilderness and launching them on an alcohol fire.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite good as well.
Oh, yeah, trying to make the bonfire and, like, trying to find wood. Yeah.
Yeah. You put that all in a video.
Yeah. Most of that in a video. I was going to say the people we saw when we got to the shore after that paddleboard were like an English group, I think. And they actually, they were the ones that owned a really nice, like, Greek boat that I did a little boat tour of.
Yeah, I remember that.
I met them the day before because I, like, randomly, they were anchored right next to us, and I went up to their boat. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, can I get a little video of it? So I like went on the board and I did this and that, and I made a video of that. And then we saw them the next day. I'm like, whoa, Josh, what are you doing? All this stuff. That was a great little town though, especially in the off season, because it's so like little, small, charming kind of place.
Yeah. Paros. I don't even want to think like how busy that place would be in like August, maybe even now, actually in September.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that place would be heaving. Ibiza's nuts. It's crazy. Like, some of these anchorages aren't that bad now because there's not as many charter boats out, but like the place in general is heaving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was that place called where Wi-Fi is at Solano or Saldana? What do you call that place?
Calasoana.
Okay.
Yeah, Calasoana. I took the Australia. I think we'll go next week, actually, because we've got these northeasterlies. So basically, we can't go to the north side of the island, which we wanted to. But we'll do it next year. We're not bothered. So I think we'll probably hang around Formentera. Then we've got this like YCA Flocella Ibiza. So it's like the first YCA big meetup for the Med. That's on the 14th of this month. So really looking forward to that. We've got a lot of people confirmed to turn up. So that's going to be cool. So yeah, I think we're going to do that in Ibiza, and then we're just going to shoot straight over to Mallorca. And then we've got quite a lot of people we're meeting up with in Mallorca as well, which is going to be sweet. Like some people that do like YouTube and stuff. That's going to be pretty good. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, well, wow. Yeah, I've seen some of your posts about it. It looks like it's really going to be awesome.
I hope so, mate. Like, I need to uphold a bit of a reputation. So I need to make this a good party. It's a bit weird because, like, generally when you throw a party, you know who's going to turn up. You're like, oh, let's invite Dave. Let's invite Rita. Let's invite Bernie, because they're all good dudes. But, yeah, I've never met anyone who's going to turn up to this, actually. Well, maybe a few people, but yeah, that's going to be quite interesting, because usually when you go to a party, like, depending on the type of character that you are, you modify your behavior slightly to the audience. Like, you don't turn up to the party with, you know, people that have a grand piano in the living room the same way you turn up to your party where there's cocaine on the table. It's a different type of Josh, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's going to be interesting to like gauge what everyone's like what language can I use around these people.
That's going to be awesome, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. No, but yeah, we were kind of talking about the history. So it's, yeah, like, what was that, two? No, that's at least 3 years ago, I think, when we first met up on your boat.
Really?
And I think it was 2 years ago. Was it more? Maybe Greece. Was it 2 years ago when we did the Greece trip?
Yeah. And then a year
and
ago
then it was
when we did.
1 year ago that's when I did that other catamaran trip where I saw you for a couple of days.
Yes. Yeah. I'm gutted that could have lasted long, but I've been on the boat already for quite a while.
Yep. Yeah.
And then how did that go, actually? I mean, they sold the boat immediately after, so I presume it didn't go well, but
yeah,
like, how did it go?
I'll tell you. And for the listeners, I can tell the full backstory. So, and this is what's really been cool. And I think you've seen the same stuff as you've started doing more and more of like YouTube or podcasting, that kind of thing. You'll meet other people in the community that have listened to you or watched your videos or whatever, and then contact you out of nowhere. And that's what happened to me. It was a couple from South Africa that contacted me completely random with an email. And they're like, oh, you know, we just bought this boat in the north part of France. And we're staying on the boat and we're getting ready to take it from France over through Port, you know, around Portugal into Spain, southern part of Spain, and then the Balearics, and we want to keep going. Their goal was to go to Greece. And like anybody who's new, even myself, and we've talked about this before, but they everybody sort of thinks you can get places so fast, right, on a sailboat. And it's in reality, it's like you need to probably cut it in a third or whatever what you think your plan was.
Easy.
Because if you think you're going to do it in 2 months, really it's going to take maybe 6 months or 4 or 5 months, whatever. So they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go this and then this. Would you want to join us? And I was like, well, I don't have, you know, 2 or 3 months to do it, but I could join you for like a week or maybe 2 weeks. I think I ended up staying for like 10 days or so.
Okay.
And so we had a very specific area. Like I met him in Spain in, was it Alicante? Is it the place called Alicante?
Yeah. So you turned up Alicante. Yeah.
Yep. And then ended up going over to the Balearics there with Ibiza, Formentera. What's the next one over? Mallorca.
Yeah.
And then I think that's the final place. We were going to try to get to Sardinia by the time I was there, but we didn't end up doing that because, you know, as you know, it's like everything takes so long.
Yeah.
Just waiting for weather and all that. But it seemed like it was your trip. You were more going with the wind most of the time. Cause I think the wind kind of comes from that direction, doesn't it? Or maybe I'm wrong, or you never know.
Well, it mostly comes from the nose. It's crappy. Like, to be honest, out of every 2 weeks, you probably get like 3 days of easterlies. Sorry, 3 days of westerlies where you can actually go like downwind into the Med. But the majority of the time it's on the nose. I think it was on the nose the entire time because we pretty much motored all the way. I remember as we were pulling up, as we were sailing past Cartagena, and this is from like Gibraltar area. So like, as we were sailing up Cartagena, I was like, oh, maybe we can get the sails out. It was like 40 degrees to the wind. And that catamaran doesn't sail 40 degrees to the wind. So, we pulled them away shortly afterwards. And I was like, that was the only positive hope of any type of sailing we actually got when we were on that boat. Although it does sail well. Like, it's actually a really good boat. So I've seen a lot of them since.
Yeah.
That's what was a that Nautitec thing?
What was it?
Open 40.
Not a tech. That's right. Not a tech.
Yeah. Nautitec Open 40. They're such nice people. I wish that would have been a different introduction for them. I think like their first 6 months on that boat were tough. Like they were motoring from the north of France, all the way around the coast of Europe, across the Bay of Biscay. They're hardly set, like, always motoring into the wind. They just had a really shitty introduction into cruising. Like, I think if that part would have been different, they probably would still be on the boat.
Yeah. A little more of the background of this couple, Anton and Antoinette. They had this beautiful catamaran, brand new. They bought it. And then whenever I mentioned to you that they're going to try to do this trip, and I was like, hey, do you want to join them for a short amount of time? So you think you did it for like a week. And then at the end of your trip, I was able to meet you in Alicante. And then you jumped off and I got on, and then I continued with them. And that was really an awesome time. But yeah, like you said, I mean, there was sometimes a little bit of rough conditions on the nose and stuff like that. But it was like a really awesome trip. And I got a bunch of video of that, and I haven't even done the editing of that yet. I mean, it's just crazy how much stuff I have.
I've been waiting for like a year to actually watch the footage of you sailing the Balearics on that, because that would have been a great one.
Yeah, it's crazy. My advice to people like that are trying to do YouTube videos is try to just edit the videos right away that you want to do, and then get it done quickly, because otherwise, I mean, this stuff just piles up and then you have other footage from other stuff. So a lot of the stuff I'm doing is like from a year and a half ago or something, because I want to get that stuff done, but there hasn't been time to do, you know, to do. And so by the time this stuff rolls around, I mean, I've got stacks of the footage, if you will. If the footage was like old school where you could actually see a stack of it, I would have like I'd be buried in the footage trying to get done with it. Whereas I think the best way to do it is like you do it this week and do it the next week, you publish it or whatever and move on. Because if you hold on to it and trying to backtrack, it's like takes forever. So my goal was always just to sit in my little office and stuff and be like, okay, I'm going to sit here for a month straight and just get through everything.
And organize everything.
And then and start fresh if I can get everything, you know, publish something like every day for a month, and then I would be up to date, you know.
Well, you've got a massive library of like back catalog footage, which you can make videos from, and you can pick and choose what you want to make as well, mate. Like I only did the YouTube stuff for the refit videos, and then Hib is going to do YouTube videos. But when I was going, when I've been doing it, I'm like, I just don't want to edit refit videos now anymore. I've only done like five or something, but I got sick of it pretty quickly.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm going to do one on like sailing maybe in a couple of weeks and just like mix it up. Oh, Hibber did a boat tour actually. Okay. So I think we'll put that one online.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been interesting. Like yeah. Editing YouTube videos. That was a first for me.
It's a lot. It's I don't envy you, mate. It's a lot of work. Oh yeah. It's a lot of work and time consuming than people think. And it's like, but then the thing is you can put out stuff quickly if you aren't that, you know, if you don't care too much about the quality of it, which I'm just too, into the quality and stuff like that and making sure it's perfect, which I think is a major downside of, you know, it's a negative to be like that personality, because you really just need to get stuff out decent quality, kind of tells a story, get done with it, move on, and don't spend.
Yeah, but it's worked out well for you. Like spending so much time getting the quality right is worse, because now it's actually your job and you're getting paid to make videos for the government.
Right. Yeah. So I do some of that as well. And that's another reason I'm backlogged so much, because I've got a couple of other projects going on. But before we move off of the story with Anton and Antoinette with their catamaran, I wanted to tell you the most exciting thing that was crazy during that trip. We were in, I get confused with these islands, but what's the bigger one? Menorca is the big one,
which
right?
One? Mallorca is the big one.
Okay.
Mallorca is the big one.
Mallorca. There was this little bay on the northern part, which is just really quaint town. I can't remember the name of this place. Let me look at my phone. Port de Solaire, which is S-O-L-L-E-R.
Oh, yeah, it's very popular.
Yeah. There's like a little train on the on the beach and stuff, a little train that goes down. But it's a quite small kind of cove. I'll see if I can even show you here.
Yeah, that's it. It's beautiful. It's a great place to anchor.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it has a nice little anchorage and stuff. But the thing is, it's quite small. So we were there and there was a storm coming through. So everybody came to that
everybody
same
was
place
going there,
because it was like the only on the whole coast there. It's like the only little inlet. So everybody's just anchored within like a few feet of each other. Yeah. So around, it was real nice, pleasant. People were swimming throughout the afternoon, evening. And then around 10 p.m., it gets dark and everything. And the wind shifts completely, turns everybody's boat completely 180.
Oh,
and a lot of fancy boats there too. I mean, as you know, around that whole region, it's like crazy fancy yachts and stuff.
Yeah.
Megamind. So there was this fancy super, I don't know, mega yacht sailboat situation. And all of a sudden it starts dragging anchor. And we were right next to this real fancy Outremer catamaran, probably 55 feet. You know, I mean, just really fancy as well.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, like just finished eating some dinner and stuff. And all of a sudden I'm like looking out and I see like lights from this boat, and I start hearing yelling and everything. And this boat, this fancy yacht, that's the monohull, slams right into the side of the Outremer, and then it gets caught up in the rigging. Like it gets intertwined in the rigging.
Oh no.
And so like nobody could do anything, 'cause it was like, you know, and everybody's yelling and stuff, and dinghies were having to go and try to, you know, push them off and all this stuff. And it took about an hour. And I'm out there. We're like, I was telling Anton
YouTube and the whole thing.
Well, I was taking some video, but I was also like telling them, like, we got to get the engine started and get prepared to move in case they start going towards us.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it was getting crazy. Like they would be within like 10 feet of us at one time, 'cause they're like they're trying to rev their motor to get off the boat and do this, that. Anyway, so a couple times they got really close to us, and we like, you know, revved up the motor and like tried to, we got away a little bit, and nothing touched our boat or whatever, but it was pretty wild to see that whole thing. And then we were planning to leave the next morning and beat a little weather system to go, I guess it would be east along the coast there.
Yeah.
So we get up at like 5 a.m. or whatever. And again, the shift of the wind moved the boat again, 180 degrees, whatever, way down this way. And throughout that entire kind of anchorage, there's also on the side of it, there's like all these little dinghy moorings, like balls.
Yeah.
They're like the town dinghies are tied onto. Mm-hmm. And so we were coming around right as we woke up, like there was a dinghy right here. And then the boat comes right to it and it like touched the dinghy, but it luckily is inflatable. It's not going to damage anything. And then it kept moving. And then like I saw the dinghy, the mooring ball go underneath our boat. I'm like, oh crap. Oh. I think that, you know, so then sure enough, the line of the, of that mooring went under the rudder of our boat, and we couldn't do anything. So there I am at 5 in the morning, and we're all like freaking out and stuff. I'm like, I got to dive in the water. It's dark and everything, you know? So yeah. They had an underwater flashlight. I go down there, you know, unfortunately in those kind of moments, I didn't take my GoPro down there, you know, cause it's like, it would have been an awesome video, but you can't do that when you're like going crazy and stuff like that. So I jumped down there with this thing, like in my mouth and stuff. And I'm like, and the rope was tied around. And I'm sitting there. I pulled out and luckily I was able to get the thing underneath the rudder and then it released us. And then we were able to take off. But then it ended up, we got out once we actually got to the ocean area, the waves were crazy. Wind was crazy in our face. So we ended up just turning around and we're like, well, sometimes you just got to go with the weather instead of against it. So it was completely opposite of our plans, but we ended up going back to the other town where we were, which we stayed several days. I'll tell you the name of that town. Also beautiful place. Just in case, like I said, anybody else is out there. So, Piguera.
Okay.
Which is just a beautiful anchorage and it's super protected. And apparently it's funny because I didn't know this about this island, but apparently during the tourism season, it's a lot of young people from like Spain and different places. And it's kind of a trendy place. But then soon as it gets to be like October, you get like old people from Germany going there and it becomes like kind of a German retirement kind of thing and all that. And we were there like kind of right at the turnover, you know what I'm saying? We were getting there right as people. Well, the younger people were leaving, then all the other people were arriving. So it's funny to see sort of the different people around the town. But
it's the same in mainland Spain. Like a lot of the beachside resorts that are like super expensive during the summer, during the winter, like the property owners, they just do like 6 months to a lot of Germans because it's freezing cold in Germany in the winter, and they're like, I'd rather be in a cold Spain than a freezing Germany. They rent out the properties like cheap for them over winter. The vibe changes rather dramatically like around end of September.
But what I was going to get to also is after I think you were kind of wanting me to give some updates of what else is going on or whatever, but did that sailing trip, saw you there. That was after the Greece trip that we met up on with the YouTube group. That was like a year later. Since then I had my Choi Lee, the 1965 35 Choi Lee. It became just a crazy headache with trying to keep up with the woodworking and different maintenance from a 1965 boat, which is another learning experience that all the old salty people told me originally, which I'm thinking as a person getting into sailing, you're always like, oh, I know better than them. I can do it, whatever. But then you realize why they actually told you this stuff, which everybody told me when I bought that, but oh, it's going to be a nightmare to try to do the maintenance and upkeep on the woodworking and everything. And you're going to be spending more time varnishing than you're going to be able to use the boat and this and that, which ended up being super true. I never even took the boat out. I just would go down to the marina and like do work on it all the time, you know? So I sold that recently and the guy has actually done a nice job restoring it. The guy that I sold it to here, he's in Marina Del Rey. I don't know if I told you about his Instagram, sometimes he'll post stuff on there.
Let's have a look at it. Can you remember the name of his Instagram? Because he didn't put any photos on it last time.
Mostly he does them in his story, but his name is Reed Kinning. It's just going to be Reed Kinning is the Instagram name, REEDKINNING. But his most recent like pinned photo, he has the boat right there on the front. Real nice looking. He just did the deck, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Oh my gosh, it looks amazing.
Yeah, and you can see a few of the photos down. He's got it really polished up nicely with the metalwork and stuff like that.
He's done a really good job with that. Yeah, he's put a couple of photos on there.
Yeah, and then there's one sailing and whatnot. So that was like 6 months ago that I sold that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mate, the thing is with that boat, though, I think with that, but if you would have had like if you would have been able to put that boat on the hard close to where you live for a year.
I
think you could have smashed it out and then it just would have been general upkeep whilst you're out on the water. But that's one of those boats where the more you're away from it, the more it's going to go wrong and everything's going to get worse if you leave it.
Oh, big time. And that's the bad thing about here here in Southern California. It's like there's almost nowhere that like lets you put it on the hard and do your own work and keep it there for a long time, except for really expensive and stuff like that. Because here it's like you can put it on the hard for like 3 or 4 days maximum, you know, and then it starts being super expensive. Well, I mean, it becomes expensive with the storage of it and all this, which was crazy because when I first bought my first boat in Maryland, there was a like a Navy marina that I was close to my where I worked, and it was like one of these super cheap on the hard situations, like $100 a month or something. And I was able to do all the work on it. I would just go there every day and do the work, and it was just, it's just completely night and day difference here in Southern California. Because the boatyards, there's like few and far between on the boatyards, and they're wanting to make a bunch of money, and it's everything costs like crazy amounts, like double, triple the amount of to do the work and stuff. So it's not really realistic for that. But yeah, that's one of those. It was a beautiful boat and super seaworthy. I mean, this thing was really great whenever I took it a few times out in the ocean to like Catalina and stuff. But anyway, I downsized to a small Ranger 26. And this thing it's really beautiful. Because it's a 1970, I think. The guy that I bought it from, well, he bought it from another couple that bought it, had it in San Diego, and he showed me all these receipts. They spent like $50,000, like restoring this thing in a proper like boatyard. And the boat's not even worth $10,000. So it's like, why would they do this? But it's sure enough. I mean, like the receipts and stuff were legit. All the work was done. I could tell you on the boat and stuff like that. So he told me, the guy I bought it from told me that these folks were like just a rich family that wanted this thing in pristine condition for like their kids or something, and ended up just paying this crazy amount of money to get it completely redone. Everything from the painting, interior, exterior, rigging, everything you can think of.
Wow.
Interior, everything's perfect. So anyway, bought this thing for like, I think it was like $7,000. And it's just super easy maintenance, outboard motor and stuff. And I've been working on it actually this week, just doing some little tinkering with it and messing with issues, but I'm just doing some little stuff with it. Going to take it out to Catalina, which is the nearby island here in Southern California. Going to take it out there for a couple of days. So still doing some sailing, but not doing a lot of the video, making of video stuff with sailing, you know. I'm still trying to keep up the YouTube videos, but it's like I have such a diverse sort of interest in things, and I want to document these things, like my motorcycle trip in Mexico, which has been kind of consuming a ton of time. Not a ton, but I probably do 2 to 3 weeks a year of this motorcycle trip, but always 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
I'll meet my friend in Mexico and we'll do like 1 week, and we'll do like maybe 500 miles in that week. So we'll go pretty slow, you know, we'll go like 100 miles a day just to sort of do more sightseeing and see the towns and stuff. So I've been doing a lot of videos of that, and those are not at all like popular on my channel, but I still want to do it because I don't really care too much about
it. That's a good experience.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was awesome. You know, my whole thing with the YouTube is kind of like, I just want to document it for my own self. Like whenever I'm 80 or whatever, I want to look back and be like, oh, that's something cool I did, you know, 30 years ago. Let me relive it, you know? That's the other thing with making videos, is like, it's so much better than even a photo album, you know, because you're like reliving that day and you're able to look back on it with the memories of being there almost. So yeah, that's part of the way I love that. One of the things I love about making these videos.
Mate, it's great. It's like, and the thing is now, obviously the way the internet is, like you put something on YouTube, unless you delete it, I imagine it's just going to be there for all of time. Like YouTube isn't going to just disappear. You know, none of these videos are going to go anywhere. I saw the value in it because like, I watch like YouTube for everything. I get my news, I get my science, I get my history, I get all my sailing stuff I've always watched on YouTube. But I always just thought it was like super hard work to make videos. But then when I spent time with a couple of people that do YouTube sailing, that had kids, and I was just like, gosh, how amazing would it be to like, you know, show your kids when they're in their 60s and they can show their kids. They were just this is what I did when I was a kid with your grandparents, and like have real video. Because, you know, if I want to, I don't have my grandparents anymore. And if I want to see them, it's a photo, you know, of some random events where everyone's been told to smile. So like the opportunity to like just record real life experiences and like share those with the ancestry, the future people of your family. I don't know what the name is for that. But like generations to come, and look back and just say, you know, Andrew sailed around places and here's some videos of him.
Oh yeah,
be crazy.
Because think about it, when we were kids, we may have like some photos from here and there, you know, but it's like we don't really have memories of like these events, because it's like nobody has those kind of memories that are very specific. You may remember, oh, remember that family trip we went to whatever town, But you don't really remember what you did that day, you know. But if you have a video of it, you're like literally reliving the entire day almost, you know, and you're able to vividly remember these things. So that's one of the coolest things, I think.
Yeah, without a doubt. And being, do you know what's nice as well? Like when, like we, I've met a bunch of people since we've been on the water, like for the past couple of months, and they've said, oh, you know, where did you get the boat? What have you done to it? And I've just been like, oh, I made some videos on it and check it out. And then like the next day or a couple of days later, they're coming back and they're asking like questions. Oh, that's so cool. And you did this and you did that. And it's nice to be able to just share stuff you experience with people. But in a recorded way, I suppose.
Right. Kind of in like weird. Obviously like an intimate way where only, you know, only you and the camera are dealing with it, but then people are able to watch it, you know?
Yeah. No, it's great. No, I think it has like, I think it has a lot of value. And the thing is as well, it's like this is, I mean, we spoke about this before, I'm sure. But the videos that you put on the internet way back of sailing when you were cruising the Bahamas, I watched every one of those. I watched some of them multiple times because I was just like, that is amazing. Like that guy's just gone and bought a boat. He's fixed it up in the yard. He's gone to the Bahamas. He's doing his thing. And that was really inspiring. And like, you know, we ended up doing a podcast and talking, and like we've sailed in different countries together. But how many people have watched one of your videos and been inspired by it? And you will just never know. You'll never know how what you did has helped someone get through a bad day or even to take a completely different life course, you know, that's from what they originally intended. Yeah, it's amazing. It was like the Australians that I had on the boat for a couple of weeks, bringing it over to Spain. We were talking about Carl Suana. Carla Suana. I was telling him about that, and I was just like, "Oh yeah, my friend Josh. Like when we went there, he made a video about it." And they were like, "Oh right." And I was like, "Yeah, actually, he puts her videos online." Like, oh, Josh Post. I was like, "Yeah, oh, we've watched loads of his stuff. We love his videos." And like they've watched those with, you know, positivity, and they've remembered them with good memories. So actually, it has a good impact, mate.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing. If you can keep it positive, and you know, don't just chase sensationalism and stuff like that, you know, or just, you know, looking for a car crash or something. But if you can actually, if you can make
fake thumbnails,
inspirational, whatever about life. I think that's the critical thing to document. It's tough nowadays, right? Because everybody's got all this everybody's got an angle with trying to do video stuff, and everybody's got, you know, you're trying to compete with like the 1 minute shorts that are some, you know,
all that stuff,
car accident, or somebody that's throwing a trick shot with a frisbee or something crazy, you know, all these things that you just flip through on the phone and stuff like that.
Some of them are brilliant. Like when I'm bored, I just go on Facebook and, you know, I'm like, where have the aliens landed? What's the CIA doing? Just, you know, getting on, downloading all my latest news.
Oh yeah,
fake news. But yeah, when I go through those reels on Facebook, and it's like people like parkour. Oh my god, those guys are crazy! Like just watching, and they show you like the first 3 seconds of a video. So it'll be a guy just like running up to the end of a building, and then it stops, and you're like, well, shit, I have to watch this. Like, you know, what happened to this guy?
It's crazy though nowadays, right? That's why, and this is completely different, but like, you know, here I'm in close to LA, I'm about an hour south of LA, and you know, they got the whole like writer's strike and the actor's strike.
Oh,
all this
that's
stuff.
Big at the moment.
Yeah, you know, it's been going on for several months, but it's like, you almost think like, okay, what's happening in the entertainment industry? Is it ever gonna, I don't think it's ever gonna really go back to normal, because I mean, you have so many outlets now. It's such a competitive world with like, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Netflix, you can go all these places where you can find your own interest.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be, nobody's really watching a lot of shows or movies anymore. Most people are just watching, whether it's the YouTube stuff or TikTok or whatever, short videos on Facebook.
Massively.
So, and that's the other thing with the whole structure of the writers and actors, like, okay, that's a full on like movie production where you're going to get paid a bunch of money and there's a bunch of money backing it. It's like, okay, well, you can also go and make your own thing on, you know, you could, there's no reason you can't make a TV show on YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
I was just thinking to myself, you remember the old shows like Friends or something, right? Imagine somebody wants to just, okay, I'm going to get my friends together and like, we're going to actually have a scripted show and make it a nice, that's nowadays it is possible to do that. If you really had a nice, you know,
prefer
if you wanted to do it together, you know? Yeah.
I prefer that. The thing is as well, it's, mate, I think cinema is on its way out big time. Like, I don't know. I imagine it's expensive in the States, because I know a lot of people have complained about the price of like taking your family to the movies and getting popcorn and a hot dog and sodas is like hundreds of dollars in some cities.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I think the romance of going to the cinema and watching a movie is pretty over. The streaming services have dominated now. People are making like great informative documentaries on YouTube. People are making movies for YouTube as well. Right. Like there's one guy that made like a Superman movie and put it on you. It's a low budget, you know, but the story was great. So I think it's toast. I don't think it's going anywhere. The other thing about this writer's strike that I think is hypocritical as shit is like, you've got all these writers and these like, you know, entry level actors. They're all on the street and they're all like, we want a fair wage. And I'm like, go for it, lads. You know, great. I want a fair wage for you as well. And then like, you know, I don't know, some dude who's worth like 30, 40 million is walking on the street with them. Yeah, I stand with them. I'm like, you're the bloody problem, mate. You're getting like 10 million a movie. He's getting $10. You need to share your wealth. That's the problem here. And they're like protesting with them in Hollywood.
Right. Oh, yeah, like, I've seen that.
Share the cash and then the problem solved. Yeah. Like, yeah. There'll be more money to go around if you don't get paid as much.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's so wild. You know, I do enjoy, I still enjoy going to the movies. You know, I hope.
What was the last movie you watched at the cinema?
I actually went to that Oppenheimer a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you've seen that. How is it?
Yeah. I wasn't really, you know, blown away is cliche. is ironic to say, but I wasn't too blown away by it. It was like pretty good. I mean, it was decent. I was able to watch it, but it was quite long. And it was like Christopher Nolan, the director, he always is known for doing like kind of unorthodox views of things, you know. So there were a couple different storylines kind of all over the place. Mm. I almost wish they would have just followed like one storyline, you know, of like the whole process. But anyway, it was good. But yeah, I still love going to the movie theaters. So I hope that doesn't go away anytime soon. But I think the thing is, like, anybody now can make a pretty good movie. I mean, there's so many people on YouTube that are like really talented with like very nice cinematography and making a nice storyline and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be coming more and more of like independent films that are literally some people off of YouTube that put together a movie.
I'd love that.
People are going to watch more of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, the thing is as well, mate, it's like, I don't know if you remember, like in the night before, like the superhero genre really got big, like Marvel. And then before, like, you know, these big franchise horror movies, like what's that one? Like Saw, where it just shows you people just getting chopped. It's just bullshit. It's just crap films. And there's a few others like The Conjuring. They've made six of Fast and the Furious. It's utter garbage. Like before that, they made films about real things. Or like period dramas that were good, like that anybody could watch. Like they actually made movies that had value in history. Like, you know, there's loads of them. And it seems like now they're just trying to chase big cash. And like Disney basically just own everything now as well. Like they've completely monopolized Hollywood to a certain extent. And they're just like pumping out whatever shit Twitter says that they should pump out. So
it's always the comic book, big comic book stuff or the Mission Impossible kind of stuff, or you know, there's not really good storylines that are actually. And it's funny because like I was watching another spy movie. It was like on Netflix a few weeks ago. I only watched like 5 minutes of it because like, okay, this is the same. You turn it on and it like has the exact same formula as like a Mission Impossible kind of movie. And it was like, okay, I've seen this 100 times or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably getting old, but I'm always like, okay, back in the good old days, you know, when they had these movies whenever.
Mate, it's true. Yeah. I don't know if like we're becoming older people or older men or whatever, but it's like there's just some shit that was just better like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And like cinema was one of them without a doubt.
Oh yeah.
Like, even Jurassic Park, they fucked that up. Like Jurassic Park should be a movie about dinosaurs biting people's heads off. The last one was like about some girl who had like some genetic thing or whatever, and like I wasn't following it. I was that bored, but I'm sure it's like the dinosaur's DNA could like save this girl's life or something. I was like, fuck that! Like, I've the T-Rex bite someone's head off. That's actual entertainment. Oh, so even Jurassic Park has lost it.
Yep. Yeah, because I mean, I could go on and on, but yeah, the good old days whenever they had a good plot and good storyline, you know, back in the day. What was good I Will watching Hunting. Recently?
We haven't seen anything like that in a while.
Jodie Foster recently was talking about Taxi Driver, you know? Yeah. And like, those are the classics that we're talking about, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. She was one of the, she was one of those actors. She like from the last era of actors that just made good films that meant something. I think like Anybody who was big in movies in the 1990s, I think, was kind of at Hollywood's peak. And I think from there, it's just kind of gone off a cliff. And now they all want to get into politics, which just sent them straight off the cliff. It's like, if I didn't like your films, now I don't like your opinion, so I'm definitely not watching.
And even the comedies, they have this silly formula that they try to go with whenever it's a Hollywood movie comedy. It's like they're not even that fun to watch anymore. You know, it's like they have the same, or like they're, you know, anyway, I could go on and on about that stuff.
I was talking with somebody else about comedy a few weeks ago, someone who was on my boat. I was like, they could not make American Pie now. Like, there will be absolute social outrage. If they tried to come up with an American Pie, it would be like, that guy's a rapist, that guy's a pedophile, that guy's a racist, that guy's a fatophobic. Like, there would be a title for everybody in that film. They couldn't do it.
Oh yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't make a joke about anything.
No, but yeah, I'm looking forward to a reset in Hollywood, so we can actually watch some good films. But we cancelled our Netflix subscription in protest. Okay. We were like, we don't want to watch Netflix anymore because there's so many of them popped up. Like 4 years ago, it was Netflix. Like, just get Netflix, and then you can stream stuff. And then they've gradually lost so many licenses to movies and TV shows that you now have to pay for like six of these things to watch stuff. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
no. Well, let's do one. And Amazon's the cheapest, so we do that.
Yeah. And even Netflix is like, every time I go on there, I start the movie within 5 minutes, I turn it off. You know, I'm like, I'm not
a lot of them
this,
are crap.
You know? Yeah, like, I think I spend more, I think this is common for everybody. You spend more time searching and trying to find something interesting than you do actually watching it. Because once you commit to something, you know. So I think that's why also these longer series are so popular, because then you can find something you actually like and you're okay. I'm going to invest, if it's going to be 20 episodes or whatever, I'm going to watch all of them because I know that there's something I'm interested in or something there. So those are popular.
But then you just end up watching them in like 3 days, not sleeping that much. And then you've got nothing to watch for like another month.
Exactly.
Him and wife, she always says like, We watch Star Trek. We always watch Star Trek. So like, she's like, oh, we need to wait for the season to end. Then we can watch it all at once. I'm like, yeah, but then we don't sleep. We eat like shit. We don't exercise for a week. So let's just watch it every week when it actually comes out instead. We can have like a normal life for like 4 months whilst it's running.
That's the thing that people don't realize also. So this was another one of these connections off YouTube. So Andy and I, now we've known each other for like 4 years, but we'll message at least once a week with something. And like just yesterday, I was like, oh, I'm doing this to my boat. Do you have any ideas about how I can fix this or that?
Yeah.
You know, so we'll do that back and forth. And like, it creates a good friendships. And that's the other thing I'm realizing. It's like nothing else really matters in the end. You know, it's like you just... it's good to have memories with people and nice relationships with people. What else can you ask for? You know,
it is, mate. It's just about like spreading positivity. Like it's great. It's an example that I've got of like, you can literally just find a friendship anywhere and it can actually become quite meaningful. It's like you can have a conversation. You can message someone on Instagram. You can have a conversation with them. Then you can go sailing with them. Then you can go on a trip. Then you can go to a different place. And it's like, you know, you can end up like getting to know people really well and really enjoying it. Maybe the internet's not a bad thing after all.
Right. We'll see how it ends up.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll
but
see
you do, I was going to say, you do look like you've taken a shower from, you know, cause like the last time I get you some of your messages, whenever you would be cleaning the boat and stuff, you have like all this dust all over yourself. You got the
blue
beard
face
down here and stuff like that.
Yeah. I had to trim up a little bit. I was getting a bit rough. Yeah, it wasn't work. I haven't showered today. I got up with the best intentions, but then I needed to start replacing some coolant hoses, and then I got sweaty, and then it was like 30 degrees. I was like, oh, forget it. I'm just going to stink for the rest of the day. It's fine.
Oh yeah.
No, my sanitary health has improved somewhat since my family came on board. I don't smell great all the time. I don't put deodorant on that much, which I probably need to start rehabilitating myself towards, but it's getting better.
That's awesome. Well, tell Hibba and Arthur hello.
Yeah, mate, and we're going to speak offline about when you are coming to the Med and sailing on this boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's got to happen next year.
Definitely.